My beloved people, it seems that every Sunday we must have some tragedy that we have to refer to. Let us pray for those this morning, those who were injured or killed in another earthquake. And this might go on and on and on for all we know. The only thing that you must be completely aware of, and never forget it, you are uninjured, we are uninjured. We are here yet to pray for those who were injured and who were killed. Remember this, my beloved people. This is a time of complete frightfulness, is it not? Let us pray.
Father, and Son, Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
I refer to a couple of items in the bulletin, and one or two that are not in the bulletin. That refer those, of course, of you who can, to attend the Stations of the Cross and Benediction on Friday nights. Remember also that there is the standing rule in the church. This has not appeared in our bulletin so far, but it will. The standing rule in our church that we must make our Easter duty during this particular time of the year. Remember, the Easter duty demands that we go to confession and receive Holy Communion during this Easter time. And the Easter time, of course, is calculated from the time beginning with Septuagesima Sunday and ending with Trinity Sunday. So you have loads of time in this to happen. And those who might neglect going to confession, please, regardless of whether it's the Easter time or the Christmas time, you go to confession as often as you can. If for no other reason, to gain the grace of the sacrament. That's why you go primarily to confession if you have even no sins on the soul. But go to confession to get rid of the sins that may in some way, shape, or form be some kind of a detriment to you. Respect the confessional. This will also appear in coming bulletin. No, I said I wasn't going to say anything at this Mass, so I won't say anything. Sometimes when you try to be the first one to give out a piece of news, it's incredible that you can't maintain yourself, but you're not going to hear it till next Sunday. All right. Nothing bad. But I want you to look at your bulletins, those of you who have it handy. Look on the first page. He sent from on high and took me and drew me out of many waters. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, have you not heard from me numerous times that you might well be, that we might well be amongst the chosen people of God on this earth with others like yourselves? Why did he pick any one of you out? Why did he pick any one of us out? As it says here, out of many waters, and each one of us, myself to begin with, you know the waters that he pulled you out of, don't you? By the grace of God, he did take you, and he did take me. And for that, my dear people, you and I and us must not hesitate to get on our knees as often as is humanly possible and convenient and thank him for just that. I don't care whether the earthquake comes from the hand of God directly, or whether it comes from the evil hand of man directly. It makes little or no difference to me. In any event, there is earthquake almost to the extent that it is like asking, well, what kind of weather are we going to have today? Is there going to be another earthquake? Where, how, when, and what? We don't know. It makes no difference from whence it came. And if the evil hand of God, man, if the evil hand of man was guilty of bringing that about, even that makes no difference. God permitted it to happen. And thus it is. And so, again, in any event, can we deny the truth, the fact, the evidence that strange things are happening wherever and however? And that we sit back and shudder, as we should, because the eye of God, who sees all things, sees this happening to us. Must we be afraid and run off and shake in desolation in the distant or in the shadows of our lives? No, not at all. We must not stand back and fall back in fear, in trepidation. Concern? Yes. But prayer and hope and trust and goodness of soul and mind and body. My beloved people, we have to get serious, and we have to take and learn to discuss, to do these, to teach our children what needs to be known. Also, in our bulletin today, we have this quotation: whether one wishes or not, God sees our every move. We cannot escape. But there's one thing that we have to keep in mind. God's eye is intolerable only to the soul who remains obstinate in error. We have to teach our children the power, the intense power of God. God is everywhere, and we read in Scripture, if you go into the desert, He is there. If we go on the mountaintop, He is there. If we go to the bottom of the ocean, He is there. And so on. Now, some of us have heard this, and we have reacted in the right way and the wrong way. We have to teach our children the true, valuable, and correct sense of the Catholic life, what we call the sensus catholicus. Do not worry, this is not hurting me. I hope you can overlook. The sensus catholicus. Our children, some generations removed from the time when the sensus catholicus was in the hands of those who knew and comprehended the sensus catholicus. This is Lent. I'm not going to fall back. I don't care who it hurts, whether it hurts me or us or you. Some of us, we go into our homes, look around in your homes, in your houses, in every room. Is there an item of religion, a crucifix, a picture of our Lord, Blessed Mother, or whoever, any place in your house? Look at every wall and see if Jesus Christ and His Blessed Mother and saints are represented in your house. If not anyone there, why is not anyone there? How can a child grow up in the presence of his holy Catholic friends, his holy sainted friends, if he is never reminded even of their existence? Go and look. And if nothing is there, then I humbly suggest that you fathers and mothers do something about that. Now, we always speak of the common sense of our holy religion. I've just quoted to you in abrupt language. If he is on the mountaintop, he is there. If he is in the desert, he is there. Now you might think I'm being silly, but I'm not. Because the other extreme I have seen. And if I open up the vegetable bin in the refrigerator, he is there. And if I go and turn the light switch on, he is there at the light switch. Or if I go and open the garage door, he is also there. And every place I look, his picture or her picture is to be seen. I was visiting a certain place. This was an institution once upon a time. As I was a guest, and in the guest room, one room. And in that one room, all by itself, I counted 18 representations of some saint or our Lord on each of the walls and the table beside the bed. I don't know what, but 18. That's ridiculous. And all that serves is the purpose of reducing that which is most sacred in the eyes of those who are dearest to us. It reduces those, the very holiest things of our existence, to stupidity. That's not what I'm talking about. If he's on the in the desert, on the mountaintop, on the bottom of the ocean, that's one thing. But he doesn't have to be in the vegetable bin of our refrigerator either. I've been in houses where you're almost afraid to touch anything because he is there. And if I counted 18 pictures or representations in this one particular room, in these particular houses, I wouldn't dare attempt taking inventory of all the times and places that he is represented. Please, my beloved people, it is no time for foolishness. It is no time, just because you read someplace, somebody said somewhere on some page of some instrument of computerization that Saint so-and-so back in the wilderness of time said this has to be. We have to be reminded at every step that he is there. Good grief. No wonder some children of ours start running as fast as they are free enough to run. I don't blame them. Let us keep things as they should be, but let us insist upon them being done correctly. Our Lord is the most wonderful thing that we can think about. The most sensible, because he is God. He makes no error. And when he presents himself, as he did this morning in the Holy Transfiguration, and the apostles right away wanted to put some mementos up, they wanted to build two or three little tents, or whatever they built. One in memory of you, and one in memory of you, and one in memory of you. And he said, no. And then he said further, don't talk about it until after I'm gone. Let's look at Jesus Christ in the way Jesus Christ needs to be looked at. Let us operate in Jesus Christ according to the way Jesus Christ wants us to operate. Let us not be nothing on one side or too much on the other side. Neither one is correct, no matter who said so. And whether you like it or not, you can look at me and say, well, then what right have you got to say it any other way? But I will also quote to you, in medio stat virtus, that was Latin, and I translated, in the middle way, you find virtue. So, if you want to convert your children to the right way of thinking, that's the way to go. We have no time. Oh, goodness, this week we got, again, our share of telephone calls. Some days I get provoked at the very thought of a telephone. this the end of time? Another earthquake? Strange things are happening. We read in prophecy. Chapter 1. Verse 1. The third word. Says so and so. Is this all? Are we there? Let us not reduce Scripture to that kind of manifestation. Scripture does not tell us. You know, in former times, even there were times when they sat down and waited for 12 o'clock to strike for the end time. And starvation forced them back to go back to work. And those are still waiting for 12 o'clock to strike. We have no earthly notion of when it is in God's mind to strike 12. So, you go home, you live your lives. But you see, in today's epistle, St. Paul had a little bit to say of how we need to live our lives. Do not make it what it is not. Do it according to the teaching and to the idea coming from God. How often have I encouraged you to make that awesome trip, figuratively speaking, to Nazareth. Go and walk in every room of the house of Nazareth. Look in every cupboard, if she will let you. Look in every cupboard of the house of Nazareth. Look in every closet in the house of Nazareth. Look in the front yard, the backyard, the side yard, the porch, any place at all of the house of Nazareth. Look at her clothes, her wardrobe. Look at his clothes and wardrobe. Look at the boy's clothes and wardrobe. Look at their table. Look at their kitchen. Look at their stove. Look at everything in that house. And compare it to anything that you have experience with. That's where it all is. The house of Nazareth is the most simple place to visit on this earth. And yet, the most difficult one to walk into, because the house of Nazareth is not what we're talking about in our daily experiences today. So as we proceed into the period of Lent, it's moving, and I think each one of us, with good intention, of course, made resolutions. Who didn't? And if you didn't, I might ask, why didn't you? Each one of us made resolutions. Well, today is the second Sunday of Lent. I strongly encourage you to dig up those resolutions that you made, and kind of check them out. How sincerely, how effectively, how successfully are you and I living up to what you and I told Almighty God Himself, face to face, and eyeball to eyeball, what I and you what I am going to do this Lent for him. Am I doing it as I said I was going to do it? I'm being extremely emphatic nowadays. You must try to understand why. Because time is going by. And as we look outside the door and we continue to condemn the world for going haywire, that you can see it going haywire by the minute. As the world is going haywire by the minute, then you, my beloved people, must be approaching sanctity by the minute. And you have no choice, because sanctity is the only reason why Almighty God made you and me. And you must look at yourself. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't allow your mind to be cluttered. If your neighbor has decided to go elsewhere, that's your neighbor's business. And you cannot do a thing about it. Remember what I've oftentimes say, not to be bringing in something of a cliche from outside about the horse. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. In your prayer life, it isn't a question of how many prayers you say throughout the day. As you go to the various places in your house, at the vegetable bin, or the garage, or in the bedroom, under the pillows, it isn't a question of, like some places, don't consider me ridiculous. At the vegetable bin, I've got this prayer to say. At the light switch, I go to put on, I got this prayer to say. I go to get an automobile, I have this prayer to say. Don't do that. No wonder your children's balk at such a ridiculous way of life. But there are those, please believe me, that are doing that. And they wear themselves out running from pillar to post, from prayer to prayer. They've looked closely at the vegetable bin where they noticed they did buy some carrots and a cabbage and something else. They're lacking, they're low on carrots. They looked at the vegetable bin, but they never look to see what is going on inside of their souls. Just because I say all the prayers that have been printed, just because I say 15 rosaries every day, just because I go to Mass and receive sacraments, just because I go to confession and all the other things that I do throughout each of my days' existences, my beloved people, I don't say this for meanness. I say this because it is true. Just because I do all those things, does not mean at all that I'm safe. The only thing that is important for me is that I say one prayer. And that prayer begins at my first thought in the morning till the first thought of the next morning, night and day, in sleep and in an awakeness. Do I love God? And that prayer must be, I love you. Please give me the grace to love you as you want me to love you. That's the prayer that has to go with you all day long. And go and snatch the picture out of the vegetable bin and off the light switch and out of the garage and every other place. Get rid of those things. If your own resolution cannot keep you with the mind of God operating in you, no picture can do it. How many have all kinds of placards pasted on the mirrors in their bathroom where they can't even see to comb their hair because of the pictures? What good does that do to anybody? The important thing is, what are you like after you walk out of that bathroom? That's the thing that is important. That's the thing that demands change. And that's the thing that forces me to ask the horrible question to myself, am I willing, wholeheartedly, absolutely, thoroughly, without question, ready, willing, and able to sustain change? I write all these beautiful thoughts on paper. I write my resolutions and hang them up where I can't get away from seeing them. But what effect does all that have on me as I walk through life in my usual way, proud, full of temptation, full of anger, full of everything at all that is contrary to anybody who claims to be a child of God? So there, I have to quit because I'm sure the time is over. I want to read two things from today's bulletin. I want you to read those little short quotations. I certainly encourage you to read Father Graff, no question. But those short quotations sometimes can punch you in the nose and can make your nose bleed too. As soon as we rest in this thought, I am at peace with God. An inexpressible solace arises within our hearts. Therefore, the first condition to suffer well, and consequently to suffer less, and I might add to live well, is to bear our afflictions with a very pure conscience. I am at peace with God. What else in all the world carries more weight with it than that? And finally, and the thought to remember, to God's willingness, we want to be careful about this one now, because sometimes we might lean on this one too much to our own detriment. to God's willingness to grant salvation to a soul, there must correspond a willingness on the part of that soul of sin to live, to save itself through its conversion to God in every respect. In every respect. And any time we fall away from that, we're simply not fulfilling our business. And we cannot have and will not have and do not have the mercy of God dwelling within us. My beloved people, pray, for these are the days when prayer is most necessary. God bless you.